From Chapel Hill, North Carolina, you're listening to The Monty Podcast. I'm Jeff Polish, and we're back with another episode that features personal stories told live. Today, we bring you a story about a miracle, music, and God. Here's Kevin Ginsberg with his story told on December 14th, 2016, at Motorco Music Hall in Durham, North Carolina.
Friends and family are what's important in the world. I totally get that. But of all the things in the world that are not important, the two most meaningful things to me, by far, are the Chicago Cubs and the band Fish. As far as Fish goes, I've been to about 50 concerts in the last 20 years. I still go on one road trip every year with my good friend Steve. I just love the music. Stop judging me. I mean, it's not like we're all patchouli, you know, smelling stoners. We kind of are. But I really, there's nothing like a Fish concert. As far as the Cubs go, I lived in Chicago until I was 5 years old. Chicago is where I learned how to walk and talk. Chicago is where I met my first friend, Mark Maslov, had my first ice cream cone, heard my first joke. Chicago is where I had my first experience with God. I recall being 4 years old, stretched out in my bed, these powerful but pleasant bolts of electricity surging through my body. I was young enough to have not a worry in the world, and I was old enough to remember. So my love for Chicago runs deep, and I was excited when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85 and when the Bulls won all their championships, but I get that football and basketball are just sports. Baseball is not just a sport, and the Chicago Cubs are not just a team. You may have heard about something called the Murphy Goat Curse. In 1908, when the Cubs last won the World Series, after they won, the owner of the Cubs, named Murphy, is alleged to have cursed the team. They haven't won the World Series since. In 1945, the last year the Cubs went to the World Series, during the World Series, a guy brought his billy goat to the stadium, hoping to get in. He had a ticket for the goat. It was a thing back then. People brought goats to the stadium, but they wouldn't let this goat, named Murphy, into the game because Murphy smelled too bad. And Murphy's owner said that he was cursing the Cubs and that they would never play another World Series game in Chicago. And they didn't for 71 straight years. I was born in 1972. The Cubs sucked for the first 12 years of my life. And then in 1984, they were in the National League Championship Series. I was 12 years old. And they were up 2-0 against the San Diego Padres. It's a best-of-five series. They're one win away from making it to the World Series. And I suffered as the Cubs blew leads in 3 consecutive games. A routine grounder went through Leon Durham's legs, and the Cubs lost 3 straight games. All 3 played in San Diego's Jack Goddamn Murphy Stadium. And I cried, and I bawled and sobbed. I'm not much of a crier because I'm a very manly guy, but when both my children were born, I sobbed joyous tears. But in 1984, I cried. And I started to believe that this curse was real, which informed the way I was thinking about what God was, some superstitious, mystical force that can alter what happens in the world. For the next 18 years, until I got married, the Cubs lost in the playoffs 2 more times, and they sucked the other 16 years. I remained a faithful fan, dreaming of the day that the Cubs would one day make it to the World Series. I never once thought about them actually winning the World Series. For me, it was really always just about making it. And I knew that, although I knew that they never would because of the goddamn goat. In 2002, I got married. My wife and I exchanged vows. I vowed to love her and honor her. She vowed to love me back and honor me. And she also, at my request, vowed to send me to Chicago if the Cubs ever made it to the World Series. At the end of the wedding ceremony, a Jewish wedding ceremony, the groom smashes the glass, so I smash the glass, and that is symbolic of the good and bad in the world, that in a joyous celebration like a wedding, we remember the bad that coexists in the world with joy. It's also symbolic of what God is, the idea being that the unbroken glass is God, this perfect, whole, complete, one real, true thing that transcends time and space, and that all the smashed up pieces of God are the physical universe, the Big Bang, all the pieces of the universe, the people in it, and that the purpose of the world is for all the pieces to come back together so that God can come to know the world, so that God can come to remember who he is, and that a good marriage is two pieces of the glass or two pieces of God coming back together. For the next 13 years after I got married, the Cubs lost in the playoffs three times, and they sucked the other 10 years. Last year, when the Cubs lost to the Mets in the National League Championship Series, the most valuable player for the Mets was named Daniel Goddamn Murphy. And Cubs fans were like, fuck Murphy, fuck that goat. But we weren't fucking a goat, we were getting fucked by a goat. This was 70 years of reverse bestiality. It wasn't fuck you Murphy, this was Hasadiga Ibowe, fuck you God. But now, it's October of 2016. And I know 2016 sucked, like every single musician in the world died, America committed Harry Caray, but for me personally, for me personally, 2016 has been the best year of my life. Just within my little like world, my 9 and 12 year old boys, they're 9 and 12 now. They're fun and they're easy. Not like the spastic dipshits they were when they were two. My 9-year-old is a big time Fish fan, and my 12-year-old is a diehard Cubs fan. And my personal injury law practice, my career is in the best place it's ever been. And the Cubs are in the motherfucking World Series. Moments after the Cubs won the National League Championship Series to go to the World Series, my wife bought me a plane ticket to Chicago, fulfilling her vow. My friend Steve has cousins who live three blocks away from Wrigley Field. And so we flew together, we went together to Chicago, we got to stay three blocks from Wrigley Field. Just being in Chicago and breathing the air got me emotional. We took an 8-mile run down Michigan Avenue where some of my first memories were formed. I went to have lunch with my first friend, Mark Maslov, who I hadn't seen since I was 5 years old. And Steve and I watched games 3 and 4, both of which the Cubs lost, from his cousin's house, three blocks from Wrigley. I had no intention of actually going to a game. It's like $6,000 to get a ticket. I mean, it's been a good year, but not that good. But because of all the losing, I was able to, the ticket prices dropped, and I was able to get a ticket to game 5. So I get to Wrigley Field for game 5. I go there like 3 hours early just to soak it all in. I've arrived at the mountaintop. I am in Wrigley Field for the World Series. And the game is great. The Cubs win, and I join the crowd at the end with the longest and loudest version of Go Cubs Go ever. It could be heard a mile away. And it was amazing. But if I'm being honest, the real experience I had was not during the World Series. The real experience I had was, and the real piece of the story that I want to tell you was about 10 days before, during the National League Championship Series, this thing that I had been dreaming about all my life. The weekend before Steve and I went to Chicago, we had our annual road trip to go see Fish. We had tickets for Friday night show and Saturday night show in Alpharetta, Georgia, basically Atlanta. And the Friday night show was awesome. But the Saturday night show was at the exact same time as Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. The Cubs are beating the Dodgers 3-2. They're one win away from that elusive trip to the World Series. And so this presented the worst dilemma that I had ever faced in my white privileged life. Like, I didn't want to miss the concert, but there was no way I was going to miss the game. So I argued to Steve that we just needed to sell the tickets and go to a bar that night. He promised me, though, that he could find a way to make it work. And I put my faith in him, and we went to the show. So I get to the venue, and we get row CC, which delights me to no end that we're assigned row CC for Chicago Cubs. And row CC is this awesome little section, kind of by itself. It's the last row in the covered pavilion section before the big sidewalk, before the lawn section starts. We're dead center. It's kind of like we're in center field or in the bleachers waiting to catch a fly ball at a baseball game. And the game, the concert starts, as does the game. And the live stream app that Steve had hooked me up with works absolutely perfect. It's like a Hanukkah miracle where one day's worth of oil lasts for 8 days. My battery charge lasts the entire time. I don't miss a pitch. And everything's in color and I'm grooving to the tunes. The best fish show I've ever been at. Completely present to the concert and completely present to the game. The Dodgers are pitching their best, their ace pitcher, Clayton Kershaw. So the Cubs are going to have to break this goat curse against a man named Kershaw. And they do. They ham it, stick it to him early, and the entire game is, or entire concert is a celebration. It's an ass-handing to the Dodgers. We're running away with the game, and I could swear that the band is following along with the with the game, because their song choice mimics the game perfectly. They play a song called Ass Handed. They play Run Like an Antelope. They play Runaway Jim. It's 5-0 in the 9th inning, and Fish is playing a song called Simple, which is this beautiful song with a long, quiet instrumental portion in the middle. The band is playing. The crowd is completely quiet. Except for me, I'm just screaming out prayers for the Cubs. Row CC, I don't believe in no goat. It's an ass handing to the Dodgers. This game is simple. It's a runaway. And with one man on and one man out, the Dodgers ground into a double play, and we win. We've clinched the National League championship. We're going to the World Series. And I lose my shit, just blubbering, joyful tears. I mean, my firstborn son's birth was almost as good as this, but this was way better than the birth of my second. About 10 minutes after the game was over, the concert's still going on, I get a FaceTime call from my 12-year-old son. In the background is this dog that we often keep at our house when our good friends, the Kershes, are out of town. I was worried about that dog being there that weekend because that dog's name is Murphy. This adorable, innocent dog named Murphy is wagging his tail in the background. And And my son and I are just looking at each other and smiling, and tears are streaming down my face. We're shaking our heads. We couldn't talk because of the noise from the concert, but even if we could, we wouldn't have. There were no words to say. It was just a perfect moment shared by a father and a son inside of a perfect moment or a perfect evening. This combination, this coming together of different pieces of God, different pieces of glass, of Fish and the Cubs, my family, a good friend, a dog named Murphy, of a father, a son, and an unholy goat. God was with me in row CC that night. I was a four-year-old kid again, stretched out in my bed. They were powerful but pleasant surges of electricity coursing through my body. I was young enough to not have a worry in the world. And I was old enough to remember.
That was Kevin Ginsberg with his story told in December of 2016. Kevin is an attorney. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Monty Podcast. This program was produced by Jeff Polish, and the story you heard today was recorded, mixed, and edited by Michelle Morano. The music you're hearing was written by Django Haskins and performed by The Old Ceremony. If you like what you heard and want to subscribe for downloads of our free weekly podcast, you can go to iTunes, any other podcast app, or just link from our website. For more information about our organization, upcoming shows, listen to more stories, watch some videos, you can log on to themonty.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week. I'm Jeff Polish. I'm not gonna change for you, even if you ask me to, 'cause even at your tender